word that sustains us and gives us life. As we have heard it read this morning and read along, let it also guide us for the spoken word, that you might convict our hearts, that we might listen to you and draw closer to you. Amen. This story of Naaman this morning seems like any other healing story, right? Somebody who has a disease or an illness, and they've tried doctors and everything they can think of, and they finally hear good news of a prophet who can heal them, and they go and receive healing. But if you look more closely at this story, it doesn't actually focus or seem that the amazing part is the miracle or the healing. In fact, there are so many characters in it that deserve more credit than they get, because if they were missing from the story, nothing would have taken place. And those people would be the servant girl, the messenger, and of course the servants of Naaman. If we take them out of the story, all you have is this general in the army who is very wealthy, very proud, who has a skin disease, who's been to doctors and getting no results, and simply has just given up. And then you've got, of course, a couple of kings, and you've got Elisha. But nothing would happen, because that's where this story would end. Simply, he's given up, he has the skin disease, and it's making his life as a general pretty miserable. Miserable because of laws back then, he would have been considered unclean, so he couldn't go and do the job that he was called and apparently really good at doing, being a general in the army. He had to hide away from other people, even was probably talked about when people saw the skin disease. And so for this general, he had almost given up. There must not be a way to cure this. But what happens, to kind of go through the story a little more, is, of course, they are fighting with Israel, and they kidnap a young girl, and he brings the young girl back for his wife to be her servant. And this young girl, she of course was kidnapped and in a horrible situation. She could have been bitter about it. She could have been hurt and angry. But instead, she sees Naaman and she has compassion. And she remembers Elisha, who was the prophet in Israel, and that the gifts that he had for healing given to him by God. And she tells this good news to her mistress. And she says, you know, I know of a prophet who can heal Naaman. And she speaks up about it. She doesn't keep this quiet. And so Naaman hears from his wife, who heard from this slave girl about this prophet. And he, of course, as a high general, he could have said, it's just a slave girl, I'm not going to listen. But something about her, maybe it was the way she spoke or the way that she went about the whole situation, convinced him that maybe there was one more option that he hadn't thought about. Maybe this was the answer for the cure. So he gathers lots of his troops together, and he goes to the king and he says, you know, I've heard this message that this prophet in Israel can heal me. May I have your blessing, essentially, to go and seek this healing? And the king says, absolutely. He's probably second in command, and the king is very fond of this general, and he sends him to Israel to meet with the king there. And he sends a letter. When he gets to Israel, of course, the king gets this letter, and he responds with anger. He thinks, why do they expect me or think that it is possible that I could heal anyone? And the king thinks the whole thing is a scam. He thinks that the Aram army has come and is going to come and attack him. So he gets angry and he rips his clothes and he starts mourning and saying, you know, why has this happened to me? And Elisha hears about it. And Elisha's response, again, is, come, send him to me, and I will speak with Naaman. This is where the next character becomes important. Naaman goes to Elisha, but Elisha himself does not come out of the house. He sends his servant or his messenger. And it is that messenger, again, who delays the news to Naaman about going into the Jordan and washing himself 7 times, and he will be clean. And Naaman's response then, again, is like the king's. He's angry. He's mad. He's like, that can't be right. I thought I was going to come here, and the prophet would come out, and he would do this huge, showy prayer, and this great, grand gesture, and maybe touch the skin, and it would be healed. But instead, he sends out his messenger and tells me to go and bathe 7 times in the Jordan. And of course, we can understand that the general might be a little frustrated, because I'm sure he's bathed before. like logically thinking, how is bathing going to make me better? Especially when he's thinking that the waters from his own country are probably cleaner than that of the Jordan. So he gets angry and he's frustrated and he goes to leave. But it is his servants who convince him otherwise. His servants tell him, they say, you know, if he would have given you a really challenging task, a very hard one, you would have done it with no questions asked to be healed. But because he says to go and to bathe in the Jordan River 7 times, you're so quick to be upset and not do it. And Naaman, again, listens to the words of wisdom from his servants, and he does what they have said, and he goes, and he is made well. That's the part of the story that makes sense, is that it is the unnamed servants and messengers that have made anything possible to happen. Naaman, of course, we have to give him credit for believing them. He believed a young slave girl. He was pretty well off, pretty proud. He thought, in fact, he could buy the healing. That's why he brought so much money. He brought all this clothing because he was convinced, I will pay anything. I will pay the biggest price I can if that's what it costs to be healed. But none of that is what happens. Instead, it is servants who convince him to go. It is messengers who tell him what he needs to do. And again, it is another servant who convinces him to actually follow the directions that he was given by Elisha. For so many of us, we oftentimes pray and we hear of people who have wonderful miracles happen. And that's wonderful and enjoy it. And we thank God for these miracles, but it doesn't always happen in extravagant ways where a person is saved and turned around in faith because of something that happened in their life. Sometimes people are changed by the small little things that have built up over the years. Maybe it's going to church, hearing wisdom, hearing words of encouragement and love. Sometimes it's not a dramatic show, but a quiet movement in our hearts by God's love. And that's what's happening here for Naaman. Naaman wanted a show. He wanted a great, quick miracle with wonderful showiness and excitement to it. And all he got instead was a simple command to go and to wash 7 times. A simple, quiet gesture calling out to him to be healed. And in that gesture, he is healed. Not only is he healed physically from the skin disease, he actually is healed spiritually as well, because now he is convinced that there is only one God, and it is the God of the Israelites. The part of the story that was not read, because it's a really long scripture passage to read, but right after this, he will try and thank Elisha by giving him some of the money. He'll try and pay him. And Elisha says, no, I don't want your money. It's from God. It's not me. I didn't do anything personally. So don't give me any of it, because I'm not going to take it. And so he asks this strange request. He says, all right, then, can I have 2 mule loads of dirt to take back with me? And it seems funny to us, but he's asking for mule loads of dirt because he wants them so that he can build a place of worship in his own country of the dirt of Israel, the God in which he now believes in and wants to worship. So his heart is changed, not just his outward appearance and the disease that he had, but his entire being, his spirit, is changed by the word of a servant girl, by the word of a messenger, and by the word of his own servants, who had enough confidence, had enough compassion and love and trust in their God, that they spoke out and they said, hey, we have this God who is able to heal you. And he listened to them. And it is their word and their evangelism that tells this story. Because although they are unnamed, if they weren't there, nothing again would have happened. It wouldn't have been a healing. Naaman would have probably given up. And none of us would have known anything really about this story. But because they had faith, these servants, and they trusted in God, and they did their job to the best that they possibly could. Because as I said earlier, the servant girl could have been like, well, I'm miserable. I'm kidnapped from my home. I'm with these strangers. My life is terrible. And she could have just been that way. But instead, she looked at her situation differently, and she had compassion, and she did the best that she could to serve her mistress as well as she could. And all of us have jobs just like that, where sometimes we feel miserable, we don't like what we're doing, or we feel unappreciated or unrespected, And it calls us to reevaluate and look at our life and think, well, God has placed me here to do the best that I can, to be the best servant that I can, because Christ has served us in every way, in every form, in the most humblest of ways. Coming down in the form of a baby, Christ serves us even to death. And I'm sure Jesus was not thrilled about knowing that he was going to die for it. Of course, we know in Scripture he goes to the garden and he cries and he says, God, take this cup from me. He mourns over the fact of his fate, of what he has to do. And yet he serves and he speaks up and he leads many of his disciples to Christ, to an understanding of who he was as Christ, so that when he does ascend into heaven and the Spirit comes upon them, they continue the message of evangelism, the message of the good news. He served one another with love and hope, just as the servants, as the story does. It calls us, no matter what our job is, whether you're the leader of a company or you're the follower, we all have different gifts. Whether you're the janitor, the cook, the person in charge, no matter your job, again, all are important, because without these servants, nothing would have happened in this story. We needed all of the people involved in order for Naaman to be healed. All of us have to have these gifts that God has given us in the places we are for a reason, because we are called to serve at the best that we can. One of the advice I got from my dad growing up, one of the only advice that I remember that was great, was that he would always tell me, no matter what you do, whether it's work, whether it's school, any job you have, always do it to the best of your ability. And this is coming from my dad, who was always in and out of work. But I know how hard he worked, because he always worked very hard at what he did. And I take that advice and I think of this story, that servant girl, those messengers. They took that and they said, I don't like my situation, but I'm going to do the best job that I can do. I'm going to listen, I'm going to try and serve God with a heart of love and compassion. And that's how this story progressed, because of their servanthood and their love. And that was the same with Jesus. He served with love, compassion, and gave up his life for us. That's what we are called to as disciples. And sometimes our callings might be grand, huge things that happen to us that change us. And other times it's simply go and wash 7 times. Go and bathe. Go and smile at somebody and say a good word. It's even in the small things that we are called to serve and to know that we are served by God. Let us pray. God, sometimes we have a heart more like Naaman than we do of Christ. We want showy things. We want you to prove that you love us through dramatic turnarounds in our lives. And when we don't get that, we often forget or don't acknowledge that you are there. Help us instead to see you in every small event in our life, that you are actively working and caring for us. Help us to serve with that same heart, a heart that says, no matter what my situation, no matter how I feel today, I have a God who loves me, who has died for me, and I'm going to serve in return. That's love to one another. God, we thank you for your message. We thank you that you love us unconditionally. Amen.